dressed in police uniforms, run along a track through woodland, accompanied by a small white terrier. The man in front is wearing a grey suit and hat. The dog leads the way.
It's just through there.
The men squeeze through a gap in some broken fencing. The dog whines at the blocked-up entrance to an abandoned mine.
Did you remove these?
Hattie, he ran in, wouldn't come out.
Stay here.
The man in the suit climbs through a gap where some boards have been removed. His torch flickers as he follows the dog along a pitch-black tunnel. The dog has run on ahead and is whimpering excitedly. The man squeezes past a cart left on a track. He lowers the beam of his torch and it lights on skeletal remains on the ground. The skull is wearing a rictus grin. A black police van rolls past a row of identical policemen. Standing with them is a solitary woman. Created by Dominique Maloney, WPC 56.
Well, I saw my baby walking.
Sink or Swim by Dominique Maloney.
Well, I saw my baby walking.
A double-decker bus pulls up at the side of the road. After a moment, it drives away, and a young woman walking along the pavement calls out after it. The conductor helps her on board.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Can't be late on my first day, can I?
The first day?
She puts on a cap.
You're a policewoman.
At service. What do you think? Do I look the part?
Lord, yes. Criminals are Birmingham, and beware.
The conductor gives her a ticket, then, seeing that she looks nervous, squats down beside her.
You know, Mr. Scared on my first day in England. We want to turn around and catch the boat right back home. But now, we wear 3 jumpers in the winter time, so we feel right at home.
Yes, sir. Can I have your fare, please?
Later, the young woman is standing on the opposite side of the road to the red brick frontage of Brimford Police Station. She crosses the street and almost gets run over. Some officers hurriedly emerge from a black car, then haul a man out of the back seat. As they drag him inside, the woman looks up at the blue lamp above her head and smiles proudly.
I'll take him down to his cell until he sobers up.
Morning, Sergeant. I'm...
Hey, now, right, I warned you two, didn't I? Where do you think you are? Back row of the pictures? You, move over there. Go on, right to the end. And stay there. Ah, you must be WPC Dawson.
Yes, Sergeant.
Sergeant Pratt. Come on through. I'll take you to the chief. He's expecting you.
Thank you, Sergeant. Of course, look, you're here in one piece. Nearly got flattened by a police car just now. Not the best start, is it?
The teenage couple are kissing again.
Move your backside, lad, or I'll move it for you. Any more funny business, and I'm locking you both in separate cells.
What were they arrested for, Sergeant?
Arrested? They're the victims.
A senior officer.
They're impressed with you at divisional headquarters.
Thank you, sir.
Why volunteer for a post in Brimford?
I grew up round here, sir. I live with my mum and dad, so it's sort of perfect, really. Well, perfect might be pushing it. Anyway, I'm glad I won't have to take the daily train to Birmingham anymore now my training's over.
I'll be honest with you, Dawson. Recruiting you wasn't my idea. I have a team of good men here, but they're few in number. They haven't the time or resources to concern themselves with your safety.
That's all right, sir. I wouldn't expect
it. Let me finish. Whether you need protection or not is beside the point. Men are naturally inclined to offer it. So it's best for you to avoid situations that would lead to them being distracted.
Yes, sir.
I expect you had female-only offices and facilities in Birmingham. As you can imagine, we've hardly the space for that here, but we've made provision for you as best we can.
Honestly, you could stick me in a broom cupboard. I'm just grateful to be here.
Well,
what I mean to say is thank you, sir, for this opportunity, and I'm ready to go about my duties as soon as possible, sir.
Well, if the men need help with women or children, you're to take that off their hands.
Yes, sir.
Never forget that your sole responsibility is to support the men so that they can get on with the job of real policing.
A secretary.
Oi!
Well, don't leave him sitting there, then.
I'd rather have chocolate sitting on my desk than you.
You only left him out to make me jealous. It ain't working, you know. All right, it's working. Who gave him you?
That would be Talon.
Better whoever he is to have a triumph tiger. When are you going to come for a ride with me?
When you drive something proper, like a car.
I'll get you on my bike yet, Cathy Sinclair. You see if I don't.
Oh, I just typed the same sentence twice.
I hear the new WPC's arrived. What's you like?
Coulson, what are you doing?
Nothing, sir.
Evidently. Make yourself useful and show Dawson in her office.
Yes, sir.
Eddie heads off with Gina Dawson.
How come she gets her own office?
Need these letters sending out today, Miss Sinclair.
Chief Inspector Roger Nelson takes a chocolate from the box and heads back into his office. Eddie opens a door for Gina.
This actually is a broom cupboard.
And if you're keeping the place clean, then, eh?
Will I get my own telephone, do you think?
Well, not likely. We never get you off it.
Well, if I get lonely, I can always talk to myself, I suppose.
You're a funny one, are you?
Watch me.
She blows dust off a typewriter.
Just take a seat here, Mr. Marsh.
V.I. Burns, this is WPC Dawson, just started today.
Good to meet you, sir.
Likewise. Your timing couldn't be better. Do you know where the teapot is?
Sir?
Yeah, it's just in the kitchen.
How many sugars?
Two. Actually, make it four.
Yes, sir.
Day like today calls for four, I reckon.
Cigarette?
No, thanks.
Sit tight, I'll be right back.
So, he grabbed your purse and ran off down St. James Street.
Fenton, there's been a sighting about 10 minutes ago.
Where?
Kenrick Road.
Right, everybody to the courtyard at the double. Looks like we found your bag snatcher. Just kidding.
Don't worry. We'll be in touch if anything turns up.
That's it. Through there.
Gina comes back into the room and puts a cup and saucer down in front of Mr. Marsh.
Where is everyone?
Everyone was ordered to the courtyard, miss. He said on the double.
Gina looks annoyed and grabs her cap, rams it on her head, and leaves the room. Her male colleagues pile into the back of a black van. Gina scurries down a flight of steps and clambers in just as they're about to shut the doors.
Sorry, didn't hear the order.
Sergeant Fenton?
Shut the doors, we haven't got all time.
The van drives out of the courtyard with its bell ringing. D.I. Burns is sitting opposite Mr. Marsh.
Thank you for making a statement, Mr. Marsh. I can get someone to drive you home if you like.
If you can call it that. I live on a canal boat.
Oh. PC Hunt.
Yes, sir.
Can you drop Mr. Marsh off at... Where's your boat?
It's still moored up near the mine for now, anyway. There's not a part of the country I haven't stopped in, one time or another. I like to walk the hills and countryside. Have you ever collected wildflowers, Detective Burns?
Collected?
Pressed. You don't need a proper flower press. Good solid book will do.
Can't say I have.
I'm just an amateur, really. You find the rarest species of plants where people don't often go. I'll be off then. Can you tell if it was a boy or a girl?
We haven't examined the remains yet, Mr. Marsh.
But it was a child.
wasn't it? You did the right thing, calling it in.
As Mr. Marsh heads out, D.I. Burns looks pensive. The police van travels along a dirt track, then comes to a stop at a red brick entranceway. Fenton gets out of the front passenger seat and walks round to the back to open the doors.
Right, listen up. Approach as quietly as possible. Spread yourselves out, cover all the exits. And remember that, they could be armed.
As police officers jump out of the back, Fenton spots Gina.
Who's this?
Her name's Dawson, Sergeant. She's the new WPC.
I can see that. What's she doing here?
She just got in the van, Sergeant.
Brilliant. Maybe Kathy should have come along too, and Glenda, the tea lady. Get back in the van.
I won't get in the way, Sergeant. Honest.
No, you won't, because you'll be in the van. Don't move till we get back. Right, you ready?
Yes, Sergeant.
Gina perches at the back of the van. Her colleagues are closing in on a barn.
When you get the blues, come on, get a rhythm.
60-40 split.
Fair enough, robbery is what it is.
Hardly worth my while, as you know.
Do you want them or what? But, you know, obviously it's your mates. When you get
the blues. The police charge into the barn and the villains disperse.
Bending low at the people's feet.
The spear in charge of the dodgy deal has ducked out of a back door. As Fenton sets off after him, his fellow officers deal with men wielding crowbars. They eventually manage to get them all under control. Fenton follows the spear into a covered area littered with junk.
Drop the bag!
Don't be like that!
I said drop it!
Fenton grabs the man and pins him down.
Look, I've nothing to do with that, Jack, I swear. I just help him flog the fags, you know me? I won't get involved in no violence.
Tell it to the judge.
Wait, Fenton, please don't!
Keep your voice down.
You don't want to arrest me. Not now.
Oh, don't I?
I'm close to something big. I'm serious, right? If this pays off, you'll be a hero.
What are you talking about?
Bank job. All right? Big one. A week from now, maybe two, but it's definitely happening.
And you're in on it?
I told you, I don't do nothing with guns, but there's this kid on it, right? Now, he's trying to make a name for himself. I've done him some favours, and he trusts me. All right? Enough to talk. But I'm no good to you if I'm banged up for this, now am I?
Gina's tapping her heels, perched on the back of the van, when the spiff comes running past with his bag slung over his shoulder.
Hey! Oh! Police! Hey!
Should have come with you, Sergeant. You wouldn't have given me the slip.
I could still outrun you, lad, don't you worry.
Gina has tripped and fallen into a muddy puddle.
All right.
Nelson to Burns.
What did the pathologist say?
He confirmed it was a boy about 6 or 7. Evidence of rickets. Found that in his pocket. Had to scrape off a fair bit, but you can still make out the date.
1923. Think he could have been down there that long?
Maybe.
Or he just had an old coin on him. Did the pathologist give cause of death?
He said he could.
Any theories?
The skull was fractured. Could be he crawled into the tunnel somehow and fell in the dark.
Poor kid.
Yeah.
Fenton to Gina.
Somebody give you an order, you do as you're told, understood?
Yes, Sergeant.
Go and clean yourself up.
What happened to her?
She picked the wrong job.
Brimford Police Station. Sergeant Pratt speaking.
Oh, thank goodness it's you.
Ah, Mrs. Pemberton. What can I do?
My Hector's run away again. I don't know what to do.
I'm sure there's nothing to worry about. He always comes home of his own accord.
But anything could happen to him.
Third time this week.
Tell her we'll send someone right away.
What?
Just tell her.
Mrs. Pemberton opens her door.
Mrs. Pemberton? WPC Dawson. I was told I'd be sent an officer. Don't worry, I'm just as qualified and twice as determined. I believe you've reported a runaway by the name of Hector. Yes.
Right. How old is he?
I explained all of this on the telephone.
I just need a few extra details. I'm told this isn't the first time he's run off.
And I'm worried sick. What if he runs into traffic?
I won't let that happen, Mrs. Pemberton. Could you describe him to me?
Well, he has sandy-coloured hair. He looks the way you'd expect him to, really.
Right. Perhaps you have a photograph.
Well, I'll have a look.
Will a painting do?
A painting?
I did it myself. Had a devil of a time getting him to sit still.
Hector is a dog.
Hilarious. Probably met with a better to do.
As Gina rounds a corner, passing a sign reading The Raven Arms, she spots a small boy aged about 5 standing outside the pub door. A woman comes out of the pub.
Poor little thing being left out in the rain like that.
Another woman comes out.
Come on, Charlie, love.
The woman leads the little boy away, looking unsteady on her feet. Gina spots Hector in a storage area next to the pub.
Cubs, and I reckon we'll shift the locks. Does that mean we can finally get a pint?
All in good time, amigo.
Leg it!
Gina chases the spiv.
She's been gone a long time. Think she's run into trouble?
Like what? Torn her nylons again?
Or broken a nail.
Sergeant Fenton! Do you want to charge them, or shall I?
Later, the spiv and the younger man he was with are in a cell. The door is unlocked and Fenton steps inside.
You boys are in a lot of trouble. Flogging stolen goods is a serious offence.
Sure it is, but we bought them fags for us, didn't we, Kev? Eh? Didn't we?
Yeah.
Hundred a day habit, is it? You should cut down. Just tell us where you got it and I'll have a word with the magistrate.
All right. Hang on a sec. Let me, Oh, do you know what? I think I may have lost the receipts.
Right.
Fenton grabs the spiv.
You think this is funny? No, I don't. I'm sorry.
Fenton drags him into the neighbouring cell and slaps the wall, pretending to beat him up for Kev's benefit.
Ow!
When I go to the trouble of letting you go, I don't expect you to get yourself nicked again.
It's that woman copper of yours. She's everywhere.
For you and me both. Ow! Is that the lad?
Not the face! Ow! So what do we do now?
Fenton punches him.
I'll handle it.
What happened to counting to 3?
Oh, shut up.
I think you might have broken it.
You're fine. Stop acting like such a woman. I'll let you go in a few hours.
Can I be out by 6? I'm meant to be taking a bird to the pictures.
In the neighbouring cell, Kev sinks to the floor looking frightened.
So you missed the second goal then?
Gina comes out of her office.
Good of you to stay late, sweetheart. Seems like we all fell behind on our paperwork.
It's all right, Sergeant Fenton. I hear you let Brody and his friend go.
And?
It's just a thought, because of the cigarettes.
What cigarettes?
The male officers laugh at her.
Good night, then.
Well, not so fast. End of your first shift. Time for a Brinford brandy.
You can't do that, she's a woman.
It's a station tradition, why should she be exempt?
What is it?
We all get to, you know, rubber stamp you.
Where?
On the bum.
All right, then. Fetch the stamp.
Go on, Eddie, you heard her.
Gina lifts her skirt a little.
Is this or nothing?
Yeah, that'll do.
Ooh, pretty first one, right?
George.
Oh, Annette, watch for stockings. Don't fancy explaining this to my mum.
The officers take it in turns to step forward and ink stamp the bare flesh above her stocking top. She gives D.I. Burns a long-suffering look, and he glances at Pratt, who seems disapproving.
Come on, Pratt! Get stuck in, son!
Pratt brands Gina, seemingly against his better judgment.
Is that the best to last? Come on, Eddie.
Eddie puts the final stamp on her leg, and Gina lowers her skirt and gives them all a cold look before climbing down from the chair.
Good night, gentlemen.
She walks out, not letting them see the tears welling in her eyes. One spills down her cheek as her colleagues come together in fraternal camaraderie. A woman brings some dinner to a man sitting at a table.
Is this what it's going to be like from now on? Dinner ready and no sign of her?
Every chance, Brenda. It's her first day. Here she is. How'd it go, love?
It went great, Dad. Everyone's really nice.
Well, sit down. I want to hear all about it.
No, never mind that. You said you'd finish work an hour ago. I've had to lay the table myself.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mum. Here, sit down. It must be really hard work laying that table.
The tub is a chicken.
Mother's right. Show some respect. She's exhausted carrying that cutlery about. Look at her.
All right, don't encourage her, Joe. And Gina, you go and get changed. For goodness sake, Frank will be here in a minute.
Well, I can wait till the doorstep if you like.
Oh. Well, at least someone's got the good manners to be on time.
I'd never be late for your home cooking, Mrs. D.
Hey, sit down, everybody. Your dinner's ready.
Oh, it all smells smashing, Mrs. Dawson.
WPC Dawson. We're all as proud as punch, aren't we?
Oh, right here.
Gina looks a little uneasy. Burns arrives home. Two girls are lying on the sofa in front of the television. He switches it off.
Jack? You just missed Daddy.
Why aren't the girls in bed?
He wanted to see them. Look what he gave us. Isn't it divine?
Deborah.
The best on the market does absolutely everything.
We have to give it back.
What? Don't be silly.
I mean it. We can't keep accepting gifts.
Well, why not? Daddy can afford it.
That's not the point.
There's nothing wrong with having nice things, Jack. Besides, we have to keep it. I need it for your party on Saturday.
What party?
It's your birthday. I want you to invite your friends from work.
No, absolutely not.
You never let me meet them.
They're not my friends, Deborah. I just work with them.
Well, then a party is exactly what you need.
Darling.
Come on, please. It'll be fun. Please?
Burns picks up both his sleeping daughters from the sofa.
I know just what to make.
Two men walking at night run towards the sound of a scream. They reach a secluded path and find Gina's bus conductor crouching beside a woman lying on the ground. He looks at them fearfully, then runs off.
Oi!
One tackles him to the ground.
Police!
The woman is unconscious. Now, the bus conductor, Palmer, is having mugshots and his fingerprints taken. In an interview room.
I swear to you, I never touched that girl. I only tried to help her.
Here's what I think. I think you tried to force yourself on her.
An innocent girl crossing the path.
She put up a fight and you bludgeoned her. Isn't that right, Mr. Palmer?
That's not what happened. I hear she screaming and I come running. A white man was standing over her.
Oh, a white man?
He had a knife!
So you saw a man. The girl's unconscious. He has a knife. What did you do?
I shouted at him and him run off.
You let him get away?
I stayed to help the girl. I scared she dead. That's how I got the blood on me.
Why run from the scene?
I wasn't born yesterday. People see a black man with a white girl's blood on him and they think what you're thinking right now.
Well, it looks like we've all made a big mistake. Looks like we've got a hero in our midst. What do you say? Should we give him a medal?
What were you doing in the park? Is it on your way home?
Me finish work.
That's not what I asked.
Me feel like I walk.
At night, on your own.
It's not a crime to go for a walk.
I never touched that girl!
So you keep saying. Sergeant Fenton, take Mr. Palmer down to the cells.
Fenton manhandles Palmer up from his chair and pushes him through the main room. Gina sees them and looks troubled. She turns to Burns.
Sir, the coloured prisoner. I've met him before on the bus.
And?
Well, he just didn't seem the type to hurt someone.
You can't always tell, Dawson.
Has he admitted it?
Not yet. D.I. Burns? Yes. Just a second. Couldn't get me a cup of tea, could you?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Two sugars. Is everything all right? No, I haven't had a chance yet. Because I've been working, Deborah. But I said I'd invite them, and I will.
A decent girl's not safe walking the streets anymore. Not with foreigners pouring in every day.
Don't worry, Kathy. I'll protect you.
Very nice, is it?
Beating a helpless girl unconscious. Okay. But I've got news for you, boy. You better hope she pulls through or you're gonna swing for murder.
You're not the only one to care about my Sylvia.
Oh, you're on first name terms, are you? Answer me!
Don't want to get her in trouble.
Ah, you're beginning to try my patience.
She take the bus home every night. She work at the hotel. We talk all the time. Last night, she asked me to walk her home.
Why would she do that?
You never take a walk with a girl before. If the park is quiet at night.
So you too?
Just a kiss, but then she gets scared.
I bet she did.
Not at me, man. She's scared somebody see us. So she asked to walk the rest of the way alone. After I leave her, I hear she's screaming and I come running back.
You expect me to believe that?
It's because it's the truth.
The truth is that she let you flirt with her.
Oh, man.
And you pushed too far.
Oh, man.
Come on.
You're in the park, There's nobody about. Who's to stop you?
It's not me, man. It wasn't me, man.
We've all been there. Hey? Some girl leads you on. Makes out like she wants it. And when she changes her mind, it makes you angry, right? Make it easy on yourself. Plead guilty. Hey? Because either way, we've got you.
Palmer breaks down.
You sure? Could you send me a copy of that, please? As soon as possible. Thanks. That was the pathologist. Seems the boy did die from a blow to the back of the head. Only thing is, no other bones were fractured.
Meaning?
Meaning, if he fell hard enough to kill him, he'd have other injuries.
So it's a murder investigation?
Looks like it.
And I'll see to it the men assist you in any way they can.
Thank you, sir.
Palmer's cell door is opened and Gina comes in carrying a tray with a mug on it. She looks appalled when she sees the injuries inflicted on him by Fenton's fists.
Mr. Palmer.
He looks at her.
We've met before. Remember? I ran for the bus.
Your first day. I say I hurt my Sylvia.
I know.
It's not true, I swear. Why would I hurt her? I love her.
He gives her a pleading look.
Will you help me? Please.
Gina looks torn. A little later, she enters the main room wearing a determined expression.
Sergeant Fenton, I've just seen Donald Palmer. He's been beaten up.
You best stay out of things that don't concern you.
I'm sorry, Sergeant. It's just that I'm new here and I'm not sure how it all works. Do we beat up all the prisoners or just the coloured ones?
Watch yourself, girl.
What's this, Dawson? If there's a problem, I expect you to speak up.
I was concerned about the coloured prisoners.
So it's nothing to worry about. When we brought him in,
I want to hear from you, Sergeant Fenton, I'll ask. D.I. Burns, a word, please.
Yes, sir?
You and Fenton interviewed Mr. Palmer together. Can you explain how he came to be injured?
He was apprehended last night by a civilian, sir. I believe he got a little roughed up in the process.
Satisfied?
Yes, sir.
Fenton heads out and Burns gives Gina a warning look.
Jared Burns, you got a phone call.
Thank you.
Gina is handed a pile of case files. She looks upset and frustrated, then makes her way through to the main room.
Fenton, she's awake.
She remember anything?
What?
The girl, is she fit to make a statement?
We'll find out.
Sergeant Fenton. I'd like you to follow up on the pawn shop burglary.
So that case is stalled. I'm in the middle of
it. It's your job to look for leads, isn't it? Dawson?
Yes, sir.
You're to accompany D.I. Burns to the hospital.
What?
A young girl has been seriously assaulted. I expect you'll feel more at ease with a female officer present. Any objections?
No, sir.
Good.
Gina pulls on her cap with a smug smile. At the hospital...
If you'd like to go through the door, she's in the bed on the right.
Thank you, Matron.
Thank you.
Leave the questioning to me. You're just here as a friendly face, understood?
Yes, sir. I'll keep my mouth shut and my notebook open. D.I. Burns, I didn't mean to get Sergeant Fenton into trouble. Chief Inspector Nelson, he just came out of nowhere.
No, he has a habit of doing that. Word of advice, stay clear of Fenton from now on.
Yes, sir.
Mr. and Mrs. Stewart? Miss Stewart, I'm glad to see you're feeling better. I'm D.I. Burns, and this is WPC Dawson. We'd like to ask you a few questions, if we may. Is it all right if I call you Sylvia?
Yes, officer, sir.
Sylvia, can you tell me exactly what happened last night?
I'll try. It all happened so fast. I was on my way home from work. And I decided to take a shortcut through Victoria Park.
What have I told you about crossing that park at night?
Mr. Stewart, please. It's important your daughter speaks freely.
There's this little pathway that runs through some trees. There's not much light down there. All of a sudden, I heard these footsteps coming up behind me. Before I could turn around, he grabbed me. Sorry.
Gina touches Sylvia's wrist.
You're safe now, Sylvia. The person who did this can't hurt you again. Right now, I bet he's scared of you.
Sylvia nods weakly.
I tried to get away. I was screaming. He put his hand over my mouth, so I bit him. And he started hitting me. That's the last thing I remember.
Did you see what he looked like? Any details at all?
It's too dark. Like I said, he came at me from behind.
Do you recognise this man? He was caught running away. He had your blood on him.
So this is him, is it? Filthy animal.
He denies the attack. He's a bus conductor on the route Sylvia takes from work. He says you'd become friends.
He's lying. I don't know any coloured men.
Look at the picture again. You've never spoken to him.
Why would I? Apart from paying the fare. He must have followed me off the bus.
So you think this man attacked you?
We'll tell him, Sylvie. It was him, wasn't it?
Yes.
You're sure?
I'm sure.
Gina sees the fear in Sylvia's eyes and looks unconvinced by her statement. Later, she and Burns arrive back at Brinford Station.
Sir, I think Donald was telling the truth. They were sweethearts.
And what are you basing this on? Woman's intuition?
No, sir. Well, maybe a bit. But look at how she reacted when she saw his picture.
I'd be pretty shaken up too if I was seeing my attacker.
Yeah, but she didn't see him, sir. Not properly. I think she's scared of how her father might react, so she's lied to protect herself.
You think she'd accuse the wrong man?
Maybe.
Poor girl's been beaten half to death, and you call her a liar. But let's say she did flirt with him. So what? If she admitted it, she'd look like she was asking for trouble. Eddie, got any cigarettes? Thanks.
She says she bit him. You saw Donald's hands. Was there a bite mark?
It's pretty hard to break the skin. Look, I know you'd like to think he's innocent, but all the evidence points to Donald Palmer.
But shouldn't we...
We? You did well at the hospital, Dawson, but let's not get carried away. Just type up a statement and leave the casework to us.
Yes, sir.
As Gina walks away, Burns has a change of heart.
Hold on. There is something else you can do when you're done with that. There's a newspaper archive at Brinford Library. See if you can find anything about a missing boy from the area.
The one from the mine, sir?
Yeah. Anything from 1923 on.
The door opens.
Deborah.
Sorry to interrupt, gentlemen.
What are you doing?
Well, I knew you'd never get around to announcing your own birthday, so I decided to do it for you.
Is it your birthday, sir?
Kept that one quiet, Burnsy.
It's on Saturday, and you're all invited to come celebrate it with us. And bring your wives, too, please. Everyone's more than welcome. And to give you all a taster of things to come.
Fairy cakes.
Oh, thank you very much.
Don't mind if I do, Mrs. Burns.
Oh, smash him.
Burns looks uncomfortable. Gina is sitting in amongst the stacks at the library, diligently going through the massive newspaper archives. She turns over the fragile pages and runs her finger over the thousands of lines of minute text. A story catches her eye, the headline reading, "Schoolboys missing, two local boys fail to return home."
Two boys?
Yes, sir. William Parker and Stanley Collins. They went missing from Crossmere Woods in 1926. They're only 6 years old. Poor little tykes.
Did you note it down?
Yes, sir. I left it on your desk.
Thank you.
What is it, sir?
If it's the same case, there could be a second body out there.
I need a woman.
Pardon me?
No, not like that. There's been a call. Come on.
Gina gives Burns a smile before running off after Eddie. Some kids are kicking a can around near some flats. A concerned woman wearing a headscarf is trying to peer through a neighbour's letterbox.
Thank goodness!
Are you Gladys Campbell?
I live downstairs. I didn't know what else to do. She's got a couple of little ones alone in there. The baby's quiet now, but he's been screaming for hours. It's enough to break your heart.
Do you know who their mother is?
Irene Miller's her name. We're no longer on speaking terms.
Why's that?
I tried to help her, I could. It's not right, a young mother struggling on her own. But it got to be like she expected it. When I said I've got my own children to think about, you should have heard the language. Hey, now, don't be afraid of your Auntie Gladys. But is her being such a good boy? He's always so hungry, God bless him.
Do you know where we might find Aileen?
Where she usually is, down the pub, with God knows who.
We're going to have to break in.
We don't have a warrant for that.
It's an emergency, isn't it? Can you smell gas?
Gas? I don't smell anything.
No. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's definitely gas. Guess we'll have to break in. All right, stand back. Move out of the way, lad.
Eddie kicks the door open, and the little boy Gina saw outside the pub runs into a bedroom.
Officer Dawson!
Gina lifts the crying baby out of its cot.
Just a bag of bones, God love him. Do you see if there's any milk?
Yeah.
Mum, where's your mummy gone to? Come on, stand up.
Nothing.
Poor little mite.
The drunken mother arrives at the flats, inebriated and accompanied by an equally drunk man.
Are you coming up, then?
Hey?
Are you coming up?
Nah, I can't.
Oh, come on. Suit yourself.
What are we supposed to do with them?
Take them somewhere safe. I saw him on the street yesterday. I knew something wasn't right. Should have done something.
No, you couldn't have known you'd find me.
Babe, what are you doing in my house?
We were concerned about your children.
What business is it of yours? Oi, get your hands off my baby!
Stay where you are.
We're taking your children to the hospital.
No, you're not taking them anywhere.
You're in no fit state to look after them, you're drunk.
I'm not!
I can smell
look,
it from
get
here.
Get out! All of you, just get
stop
out!
Stop it!
Put the baby outside, please. Come on, do you want to go for a ride in the police car? Would you come
back now? I said you're not taking him!
Mrs. Miller? Irene, please, let him go.
Come on.
Please, don't do this. I'm in jail, they'll put him in care.
I'm sorry.
Please.
Let him go.
Irene spits.
Right, that's it!
You bitch! You bitch! You've got no right! Oi, let go!
No, stay there!
At the station, Gina walks behind Burns.
I hear you served a couple of kids today.
Suppose I did, sir. So how come I feel so guilty?
Because there's only so much we can do.
Thanks again, Miss Stewart. I'll see you out.
As Sylvia heads out, Fenton shakes hands with her father, then gives Burns the thumbs up.
She'd have signed a formal statement against Donald Palmer. Good night, Dawson.
Gina is left looking worried. She's still anxious when she sits down at the dinner table at home.
Next time you're late, you'll have to go without. It'll be tough as old boots, but I'll hear no complaints. Hey, you never guess who I saw down the shops. Your friend Jane from school. Seven months gone, can you believe it? Happily married and loving every minute. My darling
dear. Gina looks like she's on the verge of tears.
I'm just a...
Palmer rests his head against the yellow brick wall of his cell, a look of helpless resignation on his face. Mist drifts above the treetops in Victoria Park as a young woman makes her way along the path at night. She rounds a bend and continues on her way, unaware that someone is watching her from behind a tree trunk. Suddenly, a man wearing a hat and with a scarf pulled up over his mouth and nose grabs her from behind and drags her off the path. A knife flashes in his hand. Next time.
Sylvia Stewart made a statement. Palmer attacked Daniel and Sephora Court. Wednesday. Case closed.
Get up and see to your children.
Today, we lay William Parker to rest.
A fight outside a coffee shop.
I've had too much to drink.
I think you've had just the right amount.
Put your hands in here! Put your hands up,
sir! Sorry, sir.
Sorry doesn't even cover it, Fenton. You made a complete laughing stock of us.
You ought to make up your mind what you want.